Warm welcome to all of you on this Monday morning. I am speaking to all of you from Dubai. Got here yesterday afternoon and just a busy afternoon sorting out, and then service last night. I think I got home last night probably after 11, went to bed after midnight. But God has been gracious and sustaining us even in India. It wasn't easy, but God has been gracious. And so greetings to all of you, and I'll take leave just to get some rest. And so over to you, Pastor Des, and may gracious. I'll probably be listening in. May the grace of God be with you as you continue to teach. Thank you for holding the fort. And I'm sure Malcolm, I can't see anybody, but I'm sure Pastor Malcolm and Daniel, all the guys are on. But bless you guys. Take care and enjoy the rest of this morning's dialogue.
Thank you, Dad. Well, morning, everyone. It's a new day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I think some of the others will probably join us in the next few minutes, but perhaps we can begin with a word of prayer. Perhaps I could ask Vic this morning. Vic, if you would open the meeting for us in prayer.
Greetings, Pastor Des and the race of sons from South Africa. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We magnify you, we glorify you, we praise you, and we adore you. We bless your holy name. We honor your holy name. We exalt your holy name. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity where we can gather together and listen to your word, Lord. And the prayer, Father God, I'd like to declare this morning is the one that you set in Matthew 6:9, which says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So even as Pastor Des has here to minister your word, teach your word unto us listening, I pray that your word will find an abiding place in our hearts. And Lord, above all, that even as we listen and understand and absorb this word, Father, we bring changes to ourselves and those around us. So it will be a blessing unto you and you alone. Even as we further tarry, you with us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vic. Since last week, we continued in the writings of the book, The Father-Son Wineskin, that was prepared by Dr. Segi, and we're going to continue to do that this morning. So we began chapter 7, and this morning there isn't too much that's left, so we'll begin with a recap from the beginning of the chapter, and then we'll conclude. So we might even finish a bit earlier today. But I'm grateful to Dad and even Pastor Sash for the opportunity to share and hold the fort. So together, as we work through the scriptures, as we work through the text, may the Lord bring illumination to all of us and enhance our understanding and the pattern with which we are building. So I'm going to share the document, and then we can follow along on the screen, or you can from your books as well. Okay, it should be up on your end. All right, could I just get a thumbs up to confirm that you can see it? Okay, great. Is that Pastor Anup from India who gave me the thumbs up? Thank you. All right. Well, greetings to all of you. And as we go on, we'll perhaps have some opportunity to dialogue and just hear some of your thoughts as we proceed. So you'll remember we spoke about one named Wolfgang Simpson. The beginning of chapter 7 is very much focused on a point that he raises about the reason for not believing in the father-son wineskin. And his view was that the father-son wineskin divides the body. And so he uses the text from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, to say that Paul is confronting the idea of factions and the misguided worldly idea of dividing the body of Christ into those following Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and Christ. He calls it infantile, and this is, however, exactly what happens again in father-son wineskins. And then he says, interestingly enough, some father-son wineskins advocates actually endorse spiritual tribalism and the division Paul warns of. This should serve as a big warning light to you. So that's the departure point that we began chapter 7 with. And Dr. Seki takes us through the text in detail. He's put the whole of the portion of scripture that's related, and he's added in some of the verses that come afterwards, and it helps us to see the full picture of what Paul was dealing with. And he says to us that the raising of the matter is not the problem. It is meant to be looked at in the full context and to see that whilst Paul raises this matter, he doesn't say that because there is this matter, we should do away with this manner of building. Rather, he is saying, because this matter exists, let's see it from the perspectives that we should be looking at it. And so Dr. Segi from the scripture unpacks for us a number of different ways in which we should be looking at the matter. And one of the key ways is that for us, we should see that the way Paul handled it is that Paul went about building as a mature builder. And so Dr. Segi was saying where these types of divisions or factions creep into any building environment, then it is the mature fathers who are meant to bring understanding, bring new perspective, and help believers to align to the building that is taking place according to these principles of understanding. And so he's given us 14 insights from these portions, from this particular portion of scripture. And he brings through the idea that we need each other, whether it is Paul, or whether it is Apollos, or whether it is Cephas, we all need each other. And ultimately, it is God who is doing the building. And he even brings through the idea that the people don't belong to any men, but they all belong to the Lord. So then captures for us the 14 points. And firstly, we went through this, but you can always reread it if you would like to, or if you weren't able to join us last week, you can go through it on page 62. The first one is that Paul and Apollos recognize themselves as servants. So he then spoke about the perspective of that whatever it is they were doing, they were serving. Secondly, he spoke about them operating in the gifts that God gave to them. And their gifts were essentially appointed. And so that meant their roles were appointed by the Lord. Then we see that Paul and Apollos had different grace functions. And the focus is that so one worked in birthing the church, and that is Paul. So Paul said, I have planted. And he said, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And that's a very interesting differentiation in terms of grace gifting. He is demonstrating that he labored to plant or to birth the church, and Apollos labored to teach, and God gave the increase. And we liken that very much to the type of work that Pastor Ron does. So as dad goes out and has labored even in the past, he has labored to bring forth new building. Labored to bring new households into the apostolic. And of course, that does involve the gifting of teaching. All of the grace giftings, but more so laboring to establish upon the foundation of called Christ. Then we also have Paul and Apollos. The view that they are nothing, for without God there is no increase or growth. And he also talks about Paul and Apollos being one. From verse 8, it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. Point six, Paul and Apollos are laborers together. And this is essentially from the text that that these verses are coming out of. For we are laborers together with God. And the point that Dr. Segi was making here is that being laborers together, we are not meant to be competitors, and competition should not exist in the body. Point seven is that the people belong to God. The Bible says, ye are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Point eight was Paul affirmed that his work was not the result of his own intellect, but the grace of God. Point nine, the foundation is Christ, not any apostle. And point 10 is that every man's work will be tested, whether it is human or divine. And this is where we looked at the perspective that gold, silver, and precious stones are derivatives of the rock, and wood, stubble, and hay are derivatives of sand or dust. Then point 11 is the temple of God. The church is the temple of God and not the apostles' temple. Point 12, God will destroy anyone that defiles the temple by sectarianism. Point 13 is don't glory in men. Don't idolize your father or the apostle. And that comes from verse 21 that says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So everything belongs to the Father. And then he expands on the last point, all are yours, and that comes from the continuation from verse 21, for all are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, for ye are Christ's and Christ is God's. So everything belongs to the Lord. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So where we left off was we looked through these 14 principles, and we didn't quite get to the next section. So this is around about where we concluded last week. So if anyone has any questions at this juncture or anything you want to share, you're welcome to do that. If you've maybe had some reflections over the week, you're welcome to do that, and then we'll continue on to the rest of the section that we'll conclude today. Morning to those who have just joined us. Okay, then we'll proceed. So in this portion of scripture, it says, fathers that operate with the above 14 principles do not divide the body. Paul does not reject spheres or graces on the basis of the Corinthian problem. He affirms it. And I think that for us sort of summarizes what we've gone through in this portion of the book, is that yes, there is a problem, and because there is a problem, it doesn't mean that we discard the entire building pattern, but rather we read through it and we understand what the problem is, and here we are seeing that Paul is affirming it, but he's also offering perspectives that support how it shouldn't be emphasized as a problem, and that's where he brings in the idea of oneness, brings in the idea of not competing, brings in the idea of we all belong to the Lord, brings in the idea that there are different grace gifts that are given, but all of these are necessary for the building in the body, and so we do need each other, and he is not in any way supporting the perspective that this is a divisive principle. He's saying that fathers need to operate with these principles that don't divide the body. Okay, so here in this portion of scripture, I'll just read through his commentary. He says, when we refer to the first chapter, the issue was not of Paul, Apollos, or Cephas. Some said they were of Christ. And this is precisely the problem of the brother church. They say they don't follow a human leader, but they follow Christ. And he says, this is equally the Corinthian problem. It is clearly a schismatic mentality. In fact, the brother church is guilty of the very thing they accuse others of. They are the center of schisms and contentions bordering on Gnosticism. They have separated from others who affirm the need for human leadership, claiming that they follow Christ alone. So, with this perspective of some wanting to only follow, saying they only follow Christ, and some saying they, it's we're not of Paul or Apollos. We then move into some other examples that help us to see how building should take place with father and sons. And there's two key examples that we will then look at. And one is the building, one is the returning of the ark, and the other is the building of the temple. So it says the father-son wineskin households will bring the church together. Responsible fathers with the mentality of David will operate in oneness. And we see the pattern in David. So this pattern that we're going to see, it's important for us to see this. And many of us know that David did two attempts on bringing the ark into the city of David, and the first one failed, And they then went back to the scriptures and they redid the process. And this the second time they did it correctly and they enjoyed success. So we're looking for the models of building that bring us success, that bring the presence of God into our building process, into our households. And as a consequence, this blesses the environment that we are working in, the community, the families, and it does make a difference even to the nation. So if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and we'll be picking up from the first verse, it says, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader." And I think this is the part now you need to begin to see how David approached the matter from a brother-brother type perspective. He consulted with the captains and the hundreds. Then secondly, "And David sent unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us." So a very strong focus on engaging with his brethren in the process. So he first did the consultations, and then he is sending note to the brothers everywhere, inviting them to come along and gather in the process of returning the ark. And then he says, and let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." So we're going to see the contrast between the first attempt and then the second attempt. And Dr. Segi says, in the first attempt, they brought the ark back with a brotherly mentality, and this ended in tragedy at the threshing floor. And Io went before the ark, and the ox stumbled, and Io means brotherly. So that very name, Io, means brotherly, and the fraternal mentality exhorts the move of God in a city. Oh, sorry, the fraternal mentality aborts the move of God in a city. So Io should not have touched the ark, and paid, there was a price that was paid. So sorry, Io went before the ark, and it was I think it was Uzzah who then who latched on to prevent the ark from falling. So this perspective of getting the brothers together, getting everybody on board to bring back the presence of God into the city, is contrasted with the second attempt. And from chapter 13, the next part begins in chapter 15. In chapter 15, it reads, "Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief and his brethren, 120, of the sons of Merari, Isaiah the chief and his brethren, 200. And his brethren 220, of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief, and his brethren 130, of the sons of Elisaphan, Shemaiah the chief, and his brethren 200, of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, and his brethren, 80 of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab the chief, and his brethren, 112. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. So here we see David establishes the proper order with the chief of the fathers of the Levites. All the brothers, but the proper order was now established. So the order of fathers and sons is established, and this time the migration into Zion, the place of unity, oneness, is successful. So he says the Davidic model of fathers and sons unites the body. So if we go back to the text and we just have a look, whilst previously David did send message to the brethren in 1 Chronicles 13, so there's a message to all the congregation of Israel. So this is a broad message to everybody. And it is, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites. And the second attempt is noticeably different in that there is a focus on engaging with the fathers and sons from the different tribes, and there's a record then of who it is that were engaged. So, for example, David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath. These are those that have then come along. Of the sons of Merari, these are those that have come along. So it's demonstrating it's not just one huge gathering of people, but now there's clarity in terms of where they belong and who the fathers are in that grouping of people. So this is the note that we just looked at, and it says, for oneness in the city, fathers of households must come together first. Then these fathers must bring their sons with them into the city gathering. I think that's an important point, that fathers must come together first, and then these fathers must bring their sons with them into the city gathering. So there is then, when they come together in the city gathering, there is the recognition of this is where we belong, this is who we walk with. And yes, we are together in a city gathering, but that doesn't mean that we forget our identity of who we are, where we belong, who brings grace to us. There is still the relevant levels of honor and respect that take place. And when we are clear of the fathers are bringing us into those environments, then it's also not, that's not then the space where people begin to think, ah, oh, this father speaks like this, and I like the sound of that. So here I'm now exposed to this, so I'm going to make this change and I'm going to change fathers. So that's one of the, I think, the benefits of allowing fathers to come together first. And when fathers are coming together first, it means that they will be, by the time they bring their sons together, there is relationship, they know each other, they begin to trust each other, or certainly know who they can trust, and they will or should then develop those same ideals in their sons of honor and trust and reverence for other fathers in the city, but still then maintaining the covenants that have been established. Then he says, if you want unity or oneness, find out who the genuine fathers are. They will draw their sons to come together. And he says, ordinary leaders do not have the grace for this. So let's maybe have a short discussion around these matters of city building, of bringing multiple households together. What has been some of your experiences in this regard? Have there been challenges that you've observed? And how have you learned to maybe do things better that can give somebody else some answers or tools to overcome challenges that they observed? And then afterwards, we'll come back and look at the second of the two examples. One is of Zerubbabel's temple being rebuilt, and two different approaches. One is the brethren approach, and then the other is, okay, like now let's move along and let's assign the responsibility to the fathers with their sons, and we do see progress coming together. So let's hear from any one of you on these matters that have begun building with other fathers in your region. Anyone have any questions?
Pastor Malcolm here from Dubai.
Morning, Pastor Malcolm. Go ahead.
What we look at is we are looking at the father-son wineskin. And Pastor Ezigan will very much agree with me what he's facing in Mauritius, which he shared to us. To get a church to come into the father-son wineskin is not that easy, as long as they are connected with some organizations or they are connected. For example, let's take Assemblies of God Church. They have their own band of pastors, they have their own band of elders, own band of teachers, and for us to penetrate into those areas, getting the father-son wineskin to be established as the present time call of God is a tedious task. My looking at it from a perspective, what we are doing in Dubai is we are not going after other churches, neither are we looking at other churches to come and join us. What we are doing is establishing new household. What we learned in the father-son wineskin is prepare the sons, make their arrows sharp, get ready for the quiver, pull the quiver, and send them out. And we feel that that is the answer to the present paradigm of the father-son wineskin, is developing your sons to go out and establish new households. When they establish a new household, at the end of the day, our goal and our goal should be bring people to Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We talk the father-son wineskin, we talk from any perspective, the great commandment what Jesus gave us has to be fulfilled. And so we as a church in Dubai are looking at the 1040 window, where there is so much of opportunities to go and preach to the lost. And we should find out opportunities. The father-son wineskin is established in the household, that we will find our opportunities to go and witness to the lost. We want to bring the lost to Christ. What we are focusing right now is in the Father, Son, Wineskin, is we are looking at the Pentecostals, we're looking at the Presbyterians, we're looking at the Lutherans, we're looking at the Methodists, we are looking at the Catholics, and all the denominations who are already having established churches with their own doctrinal beliefs. We are trying to pull them from there and bring them into our present time, Father. That's nothing wrong in it. If there is someone who's independent, INCC was an independent church. INCC had nobody above me to say that I have to report to XYZ. And so when Dr. Ronnie and all brought the Father Son Wineskin into the household, it was, of course, within the body, it was difficult. The whole church had to close down because of what we are trying to bring in. The whole church closed down. Actually, 2 months there was no church service. We locked the church doors and nothing would happen for 2 months because everybody came. They came to the altar to came to the altar to with fists and clubs and everything to pull me down. And we had only one intention was we will go what the Lord is calling us to do at this present season. Persecutions will come, difficulties will come. So what I'm trying to bring about is let us as a church get the quivers strong enough, get the quiver strong enough within the body of Christ and get them ready. As Pastor Segi said last time when he came for the conference, he said, if we don't in 8 years, 9 years, get ready to send our sons out, you will have a problem within yourself, within the body of Christ. And so when it's 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, somebody's in your church, get ready to quiver him and find out a place where you can send him out and establish his household of faith where you. He will come under your banner and then the dynasty will start growing. This is the model that we want to look at this present time. And rather than running out, let the other churches come to us, we will welcome them. But we running after the other churches is not going to help us in any way. The Catholic Church has 850 million, close to a billion believers in the Catholic Church, and they have their own beliefs and faith. And they move in their own beliefs. And we cannot run after the Catholics and say, come and join us. The Catholics are wrong. This one is wrong. That one is wrong. Everybody is wrong. We cannot get caught up with that. We get caught up with what we know is the present time need. The present time need is a father-son wineskin. Sons get connected to the father. They have a covering. The sons have a covering over the father. And we take the sons, develop them, build them up, send them out. Apostle is a sent one. An apostle is a sent one. So let us focus on seeing in our local churches if we can establish our sons 7, 8, 9 years and be ready to find out a location, find out another location where you can send them out. The 1040 window is a vast ocean of almost a billion people that needs to be witnessed. If you go through the 1040 window. And right enough, when we were in Mauritius, as Pastor Ezekiel shared, 650, they are 1 million population, 650,000 people are unbelievers there. And there's a lot of opportunity for in that area, in that country, in that state, or the country to start developing. We will not run after the AGs, we'll not run after the Presbyterians, we'll not run after the Catholics. We'll not run after them. If they want to come to us and they see our model and they want to join us, you are welcome. Come, let's be a part. And now we see this happening. The people are fellowshipping with us, but they are still going to their other churches from wherever they have their what your ordination. They still come with us and talk with us, and they go back to their churches. So on the weekends, one day they fellowship with you, one day they fellowship with them. Now, this kind of a model is not the model what God wants us to have. This kind of a model is not a model of a father-son wineskin. A father-son wineskin, fathers are there, sons are in the house, develop the sons, send them out. Not a model where the son is fellowshipping in another church and we are saying he's our son in our house. It cannot work that way.
Yes. Thanks, Pastor Malcolm. Appreciate that perspective. And this is true in the early stages of apostolic building. We do need to focus on building our sons, and later on, when there are more apostolic fathers in the city, then the building process begins to accelerate. But for the earlier phases, it's focusing on building the local sons, and then eventually, when they are sent out, that begins to be the foundation of the apostolic fathers being established in the city. I see a hand, Pastor Anoop. You're most welcome to share.
Thank you. I was enjoying as Pastor Malcolm and Pastor Ezigan was sharing. I just want to add one thing. You know, here Apostle Paul is saying here one thing that we need to have a focus that, sorry, some noise is coming from outside. We need to have an ultimate focus, of course, in the our building of our household in father, son, and wife's relationship. We must not forget, as Apostle Paul brings here the subject, ultimately we are bringing the body of Christ for Christ, not Apostle for Paul's or Apollos or Peter's, but for body of Christ. Sometimes we need to keep that in mind that yes, we are building our household, but ultimately it is not ours. It is Lord's greater family. We are part of that. We are building that. So when we build, as we see here in this context of what Apostle Paul is presenting, that sometimes even being there, we can start criticizing others and miss the main goal what Christ has for us. So here, you know, as we are building, we always keep in mind to keep the body, keep as a unity of the body, that we must see that different people, they may build on different parts, different ways, but ultimately they are also building the same, the household of Christ. So that I feel very much that we need to have that mind, what Apostle Paul is trying to present here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Anu. I'm not sure if I saw another hand. Pastor Prakash, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone. I'm enjoying listening word of word and encouragement. Thank you, Desigan. It's very true that what Malcolm said, let's make our household, let's build sons in maturity. Whatever we God has given to us, and in previously we have done many wrong practices like criticizing other churches like denominational churches and those things. Yeah, there are yeah they have their own limitation, own belief system. And we should not criticize, and we should not more focus on them, but let's focus on the Father, Son, and Spirit, what God has given to us in this Reformation, in this season, not like previously titular understanding. Father, Son, and Spirit is another efforting movement. People are understanding like that in Nepal, actually. In Nepal, they are their interpretation is this is another shepherding movement, like controlling the people. or making slave like in the name of Father Son Wineskin. So we should be a model on them. It is their understanding. The history has the wrong practice of the history. That kind of mind is building up in Nepali context. So I'm also facing those issues. So, but we have to be model on this Father Son Wineskin model. So in God's church, especially the body of Christ is not divided. It is pure. It is very, very pure and very holy. So we have to understand and focus on what God has given to us, that ABC, accurate building concept. And we are studying on the Father, Son, Wineskin, going deeper understanding. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for this dialogue.
Thank you.
I would like to add something there. What we need to understand.
Sorry, Pastor Malcolm, we're picking up some feedback. Are there maybe two devices?
Now you got it? I'm sorry.
Fixed.
What I'd like to add here is we experience this in our own household in Dubai. We, of course, we are working mostly with the Nepali community here in Dubai. And now the other pastors are coming to us and saying that we'll have once a month meeting together. We'll have once a month joint meetings together so that we understand each other, understand one another, understand. And it is all good. In fact, I am not encouraging that for the simple reason, one time they gathered together, when we brought the bread and the cup together, half of the pastors did not take the bread and the cup. And the other half, two or three of them joined in the communion. So my saying is this, and it's very simple and clear and crystal. If somebody cannot break bread with me, should I fellowship with him and go along the path? He can be a friend with me. I can go to his church and sit there. But for me to become a part of his and he to become a part of ours is not a practical solution spiritually. I understand everything that is there. I go to a Catholic church even today. My brothers all are in the Catholic church, Catholic faith. When they have a christening, they have a marriage, they have something which is related to the Catholic church. When there is a death, I go to the Catholic church. And when there is communion in the Catholic church, I go and take the communion. Why? I want to be a part in the body and the blood of Christ. So I partake in the communion, which is so important, that the body and blood of Christ. But I am not associating with them. Neither they want, they come and they can associate with me. But I'm not spending my time going to spend time with them to see, unless it is some occasion that I have to be present there as a family. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is this, that they will, lot of churches will try to come and try to mingle and try, as long as they are not, we have moved from the paradigm of having all the Pentecostal charismatic movements. We are not saying it's wrong. Our churches are not confessing that these were wrong. We are not confessing them as something that was not right, but we are confessing of a paradigm where we are moving towards more closer to knowing the to knowing Christ through the Father, Son, Wineskin, which is the Word of God. Finally, we are training our sons to study the Word of God. And if that is established in every household, we'll be doing a great job, rather than we going from different churches coming to us, we trying to mingle with different churches, meeting this, that. We find that we are like wasting our time, rather than we can stay focused in what God has called us to do at this given moment, Father, Son, Wineskin. Let's stand on that, move forward, build on that, and send sons out.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, I think that point is a very important one. And I do remember the last time Dr. Segi visited Johannesburg, that was also his perspective. And somebody asked him the question about the establishing of the city church and where our focus should be. And he said, at this point in time, our focus should be on building our local houses. And in the future, the city gathering is something that will come to pass, but it's not a priority for us right now. And it's very much related to the journey that we are in terms of our development, so within a particular region. So where you are located, if you're the only apostolic father in that region, then it will mean for you as well that your focus should be to establish your local house and to build your spiritual sons. And then over the years, as they mature and you send them out, until that point in time, it is very, very complex, like Pastor Malcolm is saying, to try to bring together other fathers who share different perspectives. Like he even gave the example of them not necessarily wanting to partake of communion. So that's the point that Dr. Segi is making, is that fathers must come together first. And when the fathers can see that they are aligned with how they are bringing Christ into the city, then they can proceed and into having bigger gatherings where they then bring the rest of the sons into those environments, and the sons will come together under the guidance of the fathers. Let's continue. We didn't hear from Pastor Asigan, but maybe after we conclude on the section, we could have some more input, and would love to hear from you, Pastor Asigan. Okay, so the second example that we're seeing here in the text is the one of the rebuilding of or the building of Zerubbabel's temple by the returning exiles. And it says, Jeshua and his brethren, and Zerubbabel and his brethren, they built the altar. And Ezra 3:2, it says, then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And so he says they first built with their brethren, and this did not even get them the foundation. So that's the first building that he's talking about. And then in verse 6, it says, from the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. And then he goes on to say that the foundation is laid when fathers and sons are involved. And then he says in verse 9, looking at the text from verse 9, then Jeshua and his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his sons, and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, King of Israel. So he says, notice that when they built with sons, the foundation was laid. And he says, we need fathers and sons to build the house. An exclusive network or gathering of father and sons is a false model because it embraces pathological independency from the rest of the body. Such a network or household of faith merely serves the carnal interests of the abnormal father. It masquerades as a local church, but is a playroom of a predator father. This father wants to lead the unity process in a city so that he can own it. The alleged father draws disciples after himself and weakens the progress of the church in the city to oneness. So that brings us to the end of this chapter. The next chapter is, does the father son wineskin lead to nepotism? And you can read on that in preparation for next week. But this is the two key examples of building with brethren and building with sons. And here we're looking at the building of the temple. And in the first portion, it talks about Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, they arose and built the altar of the Lord. So it's a different emphasis of coming together and to really see action, to really see transformation in a city. This is when we need fathers and sons to come together. And so initially it may be some minor buildings, but it doesn't, like in this instance, they got the altar done. They built the altar of the Lord, but they didn't even get to the foundation, because this building was it was a gathering of brethren. But when they assembled themselves as fathers and sons, then they got the job done. So there is a protocol that needs to be followed, and he's building according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And we see in how David brought the people together the second time around, there was the recognition of where people fitted in. It wasn't just a large gathering of brethren, but it is the understanding that these people belong to this father. And so this emphasis around working, so in this instance, we're saying it's the Davidic model, fathers and sons, that unite the body. And so these are the two key examples that we have. And I'm sure if we looked, we could find more. I think we, from the perspective of the text, we have essentially concluded. So, Pastor Asigan, if there's anything you'd like to add, you're most welcome.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Desigan, and thank you to all everyone. Good morning to everyone. We are very well enjoying this today's lesson. And since last week, we started to analyze whether this relationship, this new wine skin, will divide the body of Christ. Like we discovered last week, that father and son don't divide, but they bring the body together. And like Pastor Malcolm rightly said in the beginning, that the model we are building now is we need to build with our son. Even in Mauritius, we have been in some fraternal, even some apostolic network. They have called a few people together, but later on, it more functioning like a fraternal than really an apostolic gathering. So, and it's very difficult to build with brother. It's very, very difficult to build. And there's nothing concrete that's happened even after years of being together, apart from that we are good friends. That's all. So in terms of building the body of Christ, it's not, we can't see much progress. And also what is very important and interesting when analyzing the when David was bringing the ark back, that they, when they reached the threshing floor of Nacon, that's where the weakness was exposed. So threshing floors are places that will always test our operating system. So we might be doing well. David, while bringing the ark, was doing, perhaps all the people were thinking that they are doing much progress. They're taking the ark back with much joy in their heart. But once they arrive at the threshing floor, then the weakness was exposed. The operating system was exposed, and God did not validate their way of doing it. So then at the threshing floor, we see that Uzzah died there. Ahio, like you rightly mentioned, means brotherly. The it was not established as per the Lord, as per the law at that time. The Lord said how the Ark of Covenant should be carried. So when Uzzah died, it's a symbol of when we reach a threshing floor, which will happen to everyone. Every ministry, every fraternal, everyone will reach a threshing floor one day. So in the threshing floor, God will test the operating system, the way things are being done. And if it's not being done rightly, then what we see, there is death happening at the threshing floor with Uzzah. The second thing, the march is stopped. They could not continue their journey. So progress is stopped. So very often when we reach this threshing floor, we are trying to see where the devil is blocking our way. We are trying to see, this is a work of the enemy, this is a work of the devil, this is a work of evil spirit. But many times it is the Lord saying to us that this is not the proper way of doing it. And the Lord wants to bring us back to what is essential, to what is important, that is the Father and Son wineskin. So we saw that Uzzah died. Second thing, the progress stopped. But David did very wise things. He stopped the progress. He went back and studied how the ark should be brought back. And in his second attempt, we see that he was able to bring it to Jerusalem, which later was called Zion, or the city of David. So we also need to sit down and to see. Sometimes we might see that we are not making progress, and it's like, for myself, if I take it on a practical way, I've been working for many years alone in Mauritius, and been working in different places. We have started a few households here in different region, and working very hard to bring it where it is today. And then I realized that I can't continue to function this way. I need to have a spiritual father in my life. So then I start searching for that spiritual father. So it's a bit like David. We might see, or sometimes we are reaching a plateau. So we are functioning on our own grace, and we reach a plateau. And then to break that plateau, we need to have a spiritual father. And also it's not like just to break the plateau, but it's all to shift in the perfect will of God. So we are being doing things such a way in certain time, but now we are shifting to the true pattern of God, patterns of building. So that was a very interesting way of looking at it. So in the second attempt, how fathers and son joined together, and how the model of father and son really unite the body. Sorry, can I take 2 minutes more?
Sure, go ahead. We have time this morning.
Thank you. And also the last part before you came to the Jerubbabel, which also focus on the how they could not lay the they did not lay the foundation, and then when son when father and son came together, then the foundation was laid. So that's all a very good picture of how church should be. But when you when Dr. Segi also in the book when it mentioned it's talk about the oneness in the city, so like Pastor Malcolm also rightly said, you might meet with a few leaders and want to bring the oneness in the city, but it definitely don't come with we're just having good friends with other people. But when really the covenant, like the last apostolic visit in Mauritius in just last month, end of last month, when Dad came with all the team came. So it was to establish the apostolic culture, to establish the relationship, to make the church understand the covenant. So I rightly agree with Pastor Malcolm that the way we should build is with fathers and sons, because also David, the group of people that was with him, they understand him, they know him, they know he is a leader on their life. They know that David is a king that the Lord has placed on their life. So they will subject themselves. You know what I mean by subject. They will voluntarily submit to David in order to accomplish the plan of the Lord. So in a city, to have a oneness, I agree with what have been said earlier, that fathers and sons need to build together. And then we send the son to different regions, and they go there and start building, and the father helps them. So that's the model also we are trying to build here in Mauritius. And when Dr. Cindy said that, told me that when he see me in Mauritius with my sons and with the household I've had, she told me in her first visit in March this year that you will be the city church in Mauritius. And at that time, I have not studied the city church, and I didn't know about the city church. So my idea was that the city church should be different pastors from different churches coming together. So then it will be called the city church. But now when we are studying, the more we are studying, the more we're being enlightened. So we understand that it's just a oneness. It's just a oneness. So it definitely will come with fathers and son. And also we are keeping the door open, like in Mauritius, we are keeping the door open, having friends from other pastors, and looking forward that in the years to come, perhaps it will not be easy in Mauritius to sit with this pastor and explain to them what is this season about. But I feel that in the coming years, when they will compare our operating system, when they will compare the results, so how progress is being done there, and I'm not doing such progress. I have leaders. My leaders are here for a year or two, and then they leave me, they go there. But then they will analyze the building pattern of apostolic people, true apostolic people. Then they will see that, oh, they are stable, their leaders are here. They are making progress. They are conquering new territories. So then they will come for advice. I think then their heart will be ready to understand. And so I feel that the focus now should be on building and building and building. It's not really to convince other people, but when the fruit will come, they will see the fruit. Then they will come themselves and say, okay, tell me your secret. Let me say, our secret is only the Father and Son wineskin. So thank you. Thank you. Pastor Desigan, sorry I took a little more time than should have.
No, that's fine. Thanks, Pastor Desigan. And appreciate the sentiment that you've shared. I think it also aligns with what Pastor Malcolm shared, Pastor Prakash as well, that the focus, where we are in terms of our building process, we need to raise up our local sons. And in due course, we will then get to the point of establishing the city church. Pastor Malcolm, did I see your hand?
No, what we are trying to. What we are trying to establish is a father-son wineskin. And if we stay focused on that, even if you have only five sons, don't run after mega church, don't run after crowd, don't run after that gathering of people. All we need to do is, if you have five sons, build in with those five sons and establish the household of faith. If the household of faith is strong, automatically those five will multiply and make it 25. This is what we are seeing in Dubai as of now. The present time, I'm talking the year 2024. So whatever sons we have, we are strengthening them. Today, as we started the classes that every son is teaching the people and stuff, we have one teacher teaching five students, father-son wineskin. We are doing the lesson of Setman principle. So we have total about 12 teachers right now. 12 teachers right now. And these 12 teachers are having five students. That means we have 60 people in our church doing the father-son wineskin at the same time. All of them are studying the Setman principle. In fact, yesterday when Dr. Ronnie was there in the church, because every Sunday, one of the students who are learning will go up to the pulpit and share 5 minutes an insight of what he studied. And yesterday, Dr. Ronnie had the first time to witness that, and he was so happy and he was so blessed. So what I'm coming to the point is, start working in your local church to establish the sons to study the Word of God. And we have started with the Setman principle as a study class. We are having about 12 teachers right now, 5 students. So we have 60 people doing the class at the same time through Zoom. And every teacher is taking half an hour one time a week. So we have our Zoom platform is open 24 hours. Anyone can get into it, and their batch of 5 students can come and they are teaching. So if you want to see how we are teaching, I will give you some of our classes timings. Any one of you all can come into our Zoom and just sit and watch how our teachers are teaching and how the students are learning. And so it is a wonderful way. We are finishing the Setman principle by this month, and next month we are starting the second man principle as a study class for all the 60 students. Thank you, Desigan.
Thanks, Pastor Malcolm. That sounds really exciting, where you have your sons that are teaching others. And I think we've heard Dad share this with us previously, where within the household, the sons, whilst they might attend a Bible study and whilst they might be faithful to all the meetings, that they can also start a meeting in their own homes, and they then gather a few, whether it's five, can be more, can be less, but they gather others that they can then begin to teach. And I think you're establishing the same model, but very interesting that you're doing it on Zoom. I think Dubai has certain limitations on church facilities, etc. But I think, yes, the Zoom model can definitely work as well for those meetings. Okay, well, we have a few more minutes. The important thing about, you know, how we're building, when you think about Paul in his writing, and when he mentions Timothy and Timothy's character, he talks about Timothy being a like-minded son, and being able to build with a like-minded son is very, very important, in that it allows the building to go that much further. There's far less friction when you're working with a like-minded person. They kind of know what you are after. You can do things with even much less explanation and less difficulty. And the same is true of building with other fathers in the city. When the fathers begin to be like-minded, then you enjoy that level of oneness that propels the building process. And I think we're saying in many of our environments, we are the ones that are establishing the father-son model. And in due course, we will see the greater fruit of that. But for now, it's not for us to get too involved in exposing other people to a model that's still maybe young in our environments. And so continue with your focus of building your local house and building your local sons and your translocal sons. And in due course, you can then shift into another level of building. And I think what we see in KZN, when we come to Dr. Segi's forum of pastors coming together on a continuous basis, that is the gathering of the spiritual fathers in the city, and they do this on a weekly basis. And then from time to time, they may have a much larger meeting where more of the households are invited to join together. And when they then come together, the fathers recognizing that they are in one accord, they share the same principles. Then when the sons come together, they know there's no misalignment that's taking place, but we continue to build in one accord. So building together, building in one accord is very important. We have a few more minutes, and yes, we can finish a little earlier. But I think we also have Pastor Maureen on, and others, if anyone else, Daniel or Shandan, Summation, Davina, Faith, Vic, anyone else wants to share any thoughts, you're most welcome to do that. We don't always have the liberty of time on the discussions. It's just that we happen to finish this chapter a little early today, and we can do that. So feel free. Feel free to share any thoughts that you might have, with no pressure.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Ezigan. Sorry, Ezigan, for this opportunity. Well, actually, I was driving. I'm going somewhere. I'm at going to workplace. Well, as we are discussing regarding does this father and son wineskin divide the body of Christ? Definitely, as you were mentioning, one thing that the intent of this Reformation season and the work of the father and son wineskin, the primary mandate is to bring the city into the gathering, the pastor city church. And in order to reach to that level, we should have a cordial relation with different household of the faith. In father and son wineskin who are already in this season, and also with other churches where leader could come to the understanding where they can gather and have a right understanding and can discuss and go through. But in order to reach to that level, there are certain areas and phase to pass and learn, understand, be capable, be able. May it takes years and years, or it can become quick also, like 5 years, 6 years. It depends on how much passionate we are and practically practicing messages into our own household first, get ourselves also trained, and then we'll reach there. So, equip others. So, meantime, when the father is training the sons, definitely, the for time being, until they get trained and they will come to the understanding of the relation with the brethren, how to maintain, how to receive each other, and how to see Christ in the brother. Definitely, you most of the time will find you have very good relation with the father, and we are unable to maintain with the brother. The reason is that we are not mature enough to see Christ in our brother. So the when the father sees that, when father observes that, definitely there is a certain way to build the sons. May the father can say the sons, be separate for time being until you come to the understanding. Then you feel that you require your brother to build your household. So the point that this instructions comes, may it can be the pastor can feel that there is a separation, but this is not a separation. This is a time being to get to the understanding till you reach there, when you feel that you need your brother to assist you to build your household. So come to the point that definitely this messages is not dividing anybody of in any of in the body of the Christ. This message is very crystal and clear that it brings others to in one body, whether it is in among the household in the apostolic season, those who are already there, or in other people that we are building and bringing to the relationship. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and appreciate you. I know you're driving, and you even switched on your video, which you don't have to do. We want to make sure that you are safe. Thank you for speaking to us from even in the car. Anyone else who would like to share with us? Okay, then let's proceed to partake of the table. It's important for us firstly to believe that the father-son wineskin does not divide the body. There may be such accusations, but at least now we have the perspective from the Bible to see how the Apostle Paul handled the problem and how he introduced views to help them see that there is actually a need for one another. And he didn't dismantle the father-son wineskin, didn't dismantle that there were spheres operating, but rather recognizing that we need each other, we all belong to the Lord, we operate in oneness, and there are different grace gifts that are given. And we together, as we build, we bring the presence of the Lord into our environments. So it's a privilege to be walking together in this season. And we thank God for Dr. Ronnie, for Dr. Segi, and the manner in which the Lord is working with them. And we see how they give of themselves, how they live sacrificially to see the body of Christ grow. And it's a great privilege for all of us to see these things, to learn from them, and to pattern after them, so that in our days we can do more to advance God's kingdom in all the parts that he would call us to. So as we are together, let's receive of the bread. Jesus said, take, eat, and do this in remembrance of him, or he said of me. So we remember him. And we, this is not, we don't want to forget our covenant with the Lord. And we want to live according to it. We want to walk according to it. And out of it, we believe the Lord affirms his covenant through the blessings he brings upon our lives. So let's eat up the bread, drink up the cup of the new covenant. Father, we thank you this morning for each person, for each family, for each household, and for each city and country, Lord, that is represented. And God, we pray that through these individuals that are strategically placed, that, Lord, you would bring peace into those regions, you would bring rest into those regions, and you would bring economic upgrade into those regions, and you would bring your presence, Lord, into those regions. And Father, we bless you, we honor you this morning, and we thank you for the work that you are doing through each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would build tight families, strong families, and families, Lord, that operate in oneness as we all come around the same doctrine, understand it, embrace it, and believe it. So, Lord, today we declare that father-son wineskins do not divide the body, but indeed help to strengthen and bring great strength so that your kingdom is advanced. And Lord, as we continue to build, may we build in this way, believing in our hearts that this is the right way, believing and declaring boldly that this is how we are building. And these are the reasons that we are building like this. And we can demonstrate this in time, Lord, through the fruit that comes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful day further, and we will see you next week, Tuesday.